All right, bro.
We're doing this.
Yeah.
It's
been a while.
It has.
I'm glad that we can do this in a professional
setting. Dude, your social media is popping, dude, right now.
Bro, and you've gotten a lot of support.
Yeah, no.
You just started and you're already getting a lot of good like quality content.
That's all the connections I've made in my life, dude. Just trying to be as authentic as I can be for people.
Exactly. And you built yourself up. Your personal brand is you.
Yeah. I just want to be like a person that people, and I always have been this person where people will come to me and ask like,
I always come to you with my questions. Exactly.
Like anytime I'm feeling unmotivated by like all this social media stuff, I go to this guy right here.
Bro, whenever I'm like, you know, I do a lot. I try to spread myself too thin sometimes. So whenever I need like a good check-in with like where my progress is at and my mental standpoint, like it's good to talk to you. I talk to Aiden a lot too. You know Aiden Rise, Aiden Realtor, Seller Buy. He's your guy.
When I get my house, I'm going to be hitting him up.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job, dude.
Exactly. I love what he's doing. He's getting I love seeing my younger friends, you know, get after it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you see a lot of, like, older people that you looked up to growing up, and then they're still stuck in the same place doing the same stuff. Like, we live in Ohio, bro.
Yeah.
The objective is to get up and get out.
Right. And we all have this, like, entrepreneurial spirit about us that I can't quite pinpoint. You know what I'm saying?
And it's cultivated itself within like each other.
Yeah.
And so like we've kept a good connection over the years, especially like you've done a lot. You went to college, you play football, your business is popping the fuck off. You guys make more money than I think I'll ever see.
Like I said, I'm not the owner of it, but like
It's a collective.
It's a group effort energy.
Knowing the way that you are and the person that you are, then I know that you're a real good motivator. You're a team player and a hustler. So that translates into the rest of the team.
And that's kind of why I like wanted to reach out to you, Ramir, Vinny, all these guys. And because the one thing I noticed with the dorm dudes is that if everyone has the same goal and the same intention, you manifest it a lot quicker versus if you were going to do it yourself.
That's exactly like in Zen Buddhism, they say, like, when you're meditating with yourself, you're meditating with everybody else that's meditating alone by themselves, because you're supposed to do it with a group, like, you're supposed to have a teacher. But then, like, there's so many different ways that you can meditate on things and, like, on a thought with music, like, in nature. Like, it's hard to not get distracted sometimes. And when you can eventually be able to, like, work that into your work, like, I had a struggle, like, if, you know, cars were going by or, like, the fucking birds were chirping too loud. And I thought that was fucking up my process. But you're actually just giving yourself time to sit and listen and process that.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I know you know more than anyone, like, my brain goes in a million different directions sometimes.
Because I'm the same way. Exactly. I'm the same exact way. So, like, anytime you, like, you got so much stuff going on, I'm, you know, that's why when you call me, I'm like, just focus on this. Just focus on this one thing.
Delegation is the biggest thing. That
and you're going to be put in a position soon where you're going to be a leader
same
of
as
people.
You, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's, like I said, like, your success in financial, your success in whatever you're trying to do, like, physically, directly correlates with your personal spiritual growth.
Once you can cultivate your inner garden, like, it'll start spreading seeds.
Absolutely. Like I told you in the car, like, for example, why would I focus on trying to get a bunch of different views and all these followers and I'm scared to post when I could focus on the internal personal journey of not giving a fuck what anybody thinks of me.
And
so that way it's easier to post.
That. People are going to envy that and be inspired.
For real.
Because, like, I already know that, like, you've been pushing me to do more professional content, like, do a lot more, just speak in my mind, like, put myself out there.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so good that he's been able to provide a platform for all of you creatives and artists to hop on, come through, and share your inner wisdom and your thoughts. Come fuck with Ru's reality.
For real. Well said. Look under your chair there, your futon.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
This is what we live for.
I'm the white boy of the
Let's
year.
Go!
You want me to put this on?
Fuck it, dude. Yeah, okay. Throw it on real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this guy. Somebody screenshot that for me.
Yes, sir. See? And, you know, like, going out to going out to like Cleveland and stuff
yeah.
has definitely helped me cultivate my like personal image and my right. brand, because you know, you feel out of place there. Like you go up there, like I'm not necessarily the most like outspoken person. Like I don't put myself out there that much, so I'm already shy and like anxious and stuff. And when I started going out to perform in Cleveland and stuff, like I started with the Ohio Entertainment Awards with Andrew Lloyd and Dre Day.
Nice.
I was going up there with just my mom, like by myself, and I was nervous as hell. And after a few shows, like people started to see the consistency, like I was coming up there and I was putting myself out there before I started selling shirts or anything. Like, and I got some real support and real motivation from a lot of the people out there. Yeah. And I actually get a lot more support from my friends out in Cleveland than anybody like locally, except probably like you.
Right.
And
your mom is an amazing supporter of your everything that you're doing, all the music.
Oh,
and stuff.
She's kind of like a momager for me, but yeah, I do all like, I do all my own like bookings and stuff. But she pretty much goes and networks the fuck out for me. So everywhere she goes, she's talking about everything I'm doing, all the like I'm trying to host an event and stuff. So she markets that for me. She always pushes me to be a better person and like yeah. try to better myself professionally and how to act, because she's worked in customer service forever.
Yeah.
And so she knows how to act around people. She knows how to present herself.
Right.
And so like she's done all the marketing stuff. Like right now I'm going to we're hosting a show at Crackpots Comedy Club sometime in September. Fuck with me. But we're hosting that show over at Crackpots, and we're looking for local donations right now. Like we're looking for just businesses that want to come out and help support another local business. And and you know, a lot of people down there, like me personally, the younger generation, that's like my second time being in Crackpots, is to like meet the owner. And so it's a nice venue with a big space, and I feel like the younger generation could do with a lot more, like yeah. getting into local places, local businesses.
Our generation, I was going to ask you about this, but our generation specifically, like the amount of us that struggle on a daily basis with just like the anxiety and shit, like you are out here performing in front of a bunch of people, all eyes on you, something creative.
And I'm one of the like, most anxious people.
I've right. You have been like, I mean, as long as I've known, you've been fairly like, I mean, if you're anything like me, which I think you were, like an anxious human being.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how did you overcome that anxiety? Or do you still struggle with it? Or
oh, no, every day, like, I swear, like, at least 20 minutes before bed, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, man. I can't go out there. But then as soon as you, like, get there, get in that mode, it's really helped to build, like, an authentic group of people yeah. that actually want to support you and see
that's
you
so
succeed.
Cool.
Shout out Ron Doverman. Shout out MDM Jado. Shout out Jock the Don, Big Pasto. Shout out Lil Pitt. Shout out Colin. Shout out Man. Everybody in Cleveland that's helped me push and support myself and be able to get out there and present myself there, like, it's just been a great time. Like, I've never Man. Thought I was going to push myself this far to get
Man.
There. And being able to build such a talented group of people, like, MDN Jado, he's my ambassador. And the way that he controls a crowd is, like, so inspiring to me.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to get up there and practice, like, my crowd work better, practice, like, just the way that I personally perform. And, you know, you see that in other people. Like, whenever you see, like, somebody that's truly an individual and, like, you want to help them. And so I feel like it's just, like, a shared respect among artists. But, and a lot of it's just put in the work. Like, I haven't done shit for a long time. And so, you know, like, we've been planning a lot of this stuff for years.
Me and you've been
now.
Talking for a minute yeah. about since, if you want to get to it, middle school, bro.
Exactly.
Because middle school, we were always talking about, like, what we wanted to do with, like, dream-wise, entrepreneurial-wise. I mean, you've overcome.
Well, we've always wanted to be individuals.
For real.
We've always,
true.
Like, tried to set ourselves out from people. And that's why me and you connected on such a deep level, yeah. especially being from different, you know, like,
yeah.
social groups.
Mm.
And, but we've always wanted to be able to express ourselves the way we properly are wanting to. And I think especially when I dropped out probably like my, I'd say, sophomore, end of sophomore year, like junior year probably. My grandma passed away when I was 17 on my birthday. And so she always wanted to see me like succeed and do better for myself.
She was a good woman.
She took me everywhere. She let me do whatever I needed to do to work on myself and my mental health, because I did not really grow up the best, like in the best way. And to no fault of anybody else, but I just couldn't, sometimes I couldn't process that correctly.
Yeah.
And going to school and stuff, like that wasn't my forte. Like I would say I was a smart individual. Like
I think you were one of the smartest kids in our grade. Like, and a lot of people agree. And people were like, you know, he's a dumbass for dropping out, which I was worried for you. Like, obviously, like, it's just ingrained in us to follow the shit. But so, yeah, dude, I think this is definitely transferred over for you well.
And see, like, we've always been, like, you know, medical marijuana advocates, psychedelic mental health.
Psychedelic medicine, mental health facilities.
Yeah, just advocates. the holistic way of healing, just right. Because like my uncle passed away when I was 8 years old, because he liked prescription medicine.
Yeah.
And you know, that was really popular in that generation. Like it's like part of the drug war. Like people were pushing actual legal medicine that's fucking people up worse than the drugs that are not allowed.
Right.
And my mom, she struggled with a lot of that, and so seeing that she overcame a lot of her struggles and stuff because she turned to psychedelics and she turned to, like, you know, working on her brain and her mental health. And she's one of the most bright, happy, positive individuals that I've met in my life. And she pushes that, like, joy for life in me and everything I do. And she advocates for psilocybin, DMT. I'm not a big fan of acid,
right.
You know, but just that entire category.
Anything natural for me is the way to go. Like, I'm a big advocate. Like, I don't even think psilocybin should be available recreationally. I think, like, and this is how I stay professional about this topic. A lot of people take this topic the wrong way, and they'll just label you as a drug abuser. You know,
it's that old way of thinking, bro.
Addicted
that
on
old
shit.
Way of thinking.
It's not helpful, because I mean, I know my life was completely changed through the use of, like, psilocybin, and I might not have done it the correct way, but I really was just profoundly moved and changed to become a better human being through the use of psilocybin.
It's a nice little journey to, like, realize where you've messed up in the process and where you can improve.
Right.
Because I know we've talked about, like, the different methods of microdosing and stuff, and I believe it might be Terrence McKenna, his microdosing method. You take a half gram, like 500 milligrams of lion's mane, half gram of psilocybin, and then you take, I think, a half gram of niacin.
I think it's 100 milligrams. Niacin, lion's mane, and psilocybin.
Yep.
That's the stack.
And that's the, yep.
And the, what is the Stamet stack?
The Stamet stack.
That's, is that what that what is?
Yep.
Yeah, Stamet stack, yeah. And like I was talking about earlier, like just with like the centers, like I do see within the next 10 to 15, even 20 years, maybe if it gets pushed back more, that there will be centers that pop up where you can go into. And
oh, no, for sure.
It's
in the
beautiful
psychedelic revolution.
Yeah, this is amazing, because we no longer are battling like the war on drugs or anything like that.
Yep.
And like I said, I'm just going to clear this up. Like I do like advocate for the professional use and medicinal use of these substances. I don't support the abuse of any of these, and
a lot of people don't
safe
understand
and
what they're getting into.
They don't.
But Albert Hofmann, after he synthesized acid, like we started using that in projects, like you know about MK Ultra,
yeah.
And everything, like the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. He was
that's
part
so
of
crazy.
That, program.
That story that is program. So wild, dude. The whole MK Ultra.
We were just trying to figure out what we could do about it, and they were like, "We're not testing on people. Like, we're not doing this." And then it comes out eventually later. They're like, "Yeah, we did that."
So just to clear it up, though, MK Ultra was an official CIA operation, psychological operation,
completely
on
real.
What they did, and you can look this up. Like,
the video. Can you find the video of them, like soldiers marching on acid, And, like, they gave all the soldiers acid because they thought with what because, like, jungle tribes and shit,
yeah,
they'll use psychedelics to become more, like, connected and stuff. So they use it when they're, like, hunting to heighten their senses and be able to, like, kind of hive mind, you know? And so they were trying to do that to American soldiers. And they were trying to keep them, like, just uniform and stuff. And these motherfuckers couldn't contain themselves. They're interrogating one dude on acid because they're trying to see, like, if it makes them defiant to their superiors, right, and stuff. Yeah.
they begin to drift aimlessly.
Awesome. But, like, we figured out what acid was, and then after we that basically, like, kind of fell apart a little bit, they ethnopharmacologists figured out what tribes were doing, and like there were like villages in Mexico that were psychedelic communities that were using this as like a way to they were using it religiously so they could speak to like their deities and stuff. And so people went, like, ethnopharmacologists, I forget, it's some famous, like, psychopharmacologist or whatever it is, but they went to see Maria Sabini. She was, like, sort of, like, a guru, kind of, and she was giving giving the mushrooms to the village. And so the white people, they came into the village, and they were like, hey, like, is this, like, let me get some of this.
Yeah.
And so they
how got, can I make money off
they
this?
Got they got some of the psilocybin. They took it to the same dude who synthesized acid, Albert, yeah, Hoffman, and he synthesized it into psilocybin. And so they synthesized it into a pill form, and they went back to Maria Sabini. They gave her that pill and was like, is this the same as what you guys take? And after the effects were, like, cleared and everything was, like, the same, she was like, yes, this is right. And so people kept coming, like, famous people were coming to this village and were just taking hella mushrooms, doing a bunch of crazy shit to the village. And the entire village ended up despising Maria because she had, like, entered the white people into, yeah, their culture. And so, like, Mick Jagger and a bunch of, like, famous ass people were there just fucking shit up. Yeah. And so they ended up, like, kicking her out of her own village and, like, burning down her family's house and shit like that.
Man.
And then the war on drugs happened and our entire psychedelic, like, research got stunted.
I know that from MKUltra itself, there was, like, a couple serial killers that came from, mm-hmm, that with the Unabomber, and they think, what, Charles Manson, too, was involved?
Possibly.
So, yeah, they think Charles Manson was involved. So, essentially, yeah, like, the CIA was using acid, essentially, to see if they could mind control just general people. And some of these people who were...
they would do random trials on, like, just random people.
Mm-hmm. So the music that you're doing and stuff like that, what's your plans for, like, the music? Like, I know this is, like, the whole rapping scene for you is pretty much fairly new, right? Like,
I mean, relative, I remember, like, maybe a month and a half ago, I probably got, like, the 1 year ago today from me playing a show at the McAlpine Meadery. Shout out Melly, shout out to Guy Singers. And, it was humbling, to say the least, to, like, come up and, you know, because you're playing, like, small venues and you're not getting big crowds. And, like, I was hosting my own events for a little while. And I realized I had to fall back because, you know, like, I severed ties with some people. And so I had to, like, regroup and reform myself. And as much as I love, like, performing out in, like, Cleveland, Kent, Akron, Canton, like, I really need to take some time to, like, fall back and, like, reinvent my kind of style, because I'm still kind of looking for that and trying to, you know, just grow as a musician as well, because right now it's kind of just an entryway to these venues and these performances and events, because, like, hey, I'll come perform and usually you get free entry as an artist.
Yeah.
And so when I get in there, I start taking videos of everybody. And so, like, when I go and get videos of everybody, I'm like, hey, if I send you this video, like, follow me on Instagram so we can stay connected or whatever. And I'm an amateur videographer right now. Like, I'm going to media school to try to up my game, try to get, like, a leg up on the competition, just be able, right, to provide quality content and be able to support other artists that are doing the same stuff that I'm doing. But really, that's just a way for me to get in there and like support my clothing brand, be able to, you know, be able to sell some shirts, $20 a piece, time limited.
Hell yeah. You got a website, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Is it just Truancy Global?
Truancyglobal.com.
Hell yeah, dude. I think we're getting into all like this social media and creative work at the perfect time. One, because internet, and two, because...
And the best time was yesterday.
Yeah, for real. And like, the more jobs you see AI taking, the more like automated, financial type, corporate looking jobs. I really think like the benefit, like there's probably a lot of shit that could happen off AI with weaponization.
Oh, no, definitely.
But I think like a lot of the good things that could happen will allow us to, it'll probably have people consuming more media. Seems like it's going like that anyway. But it allows me especially to sit here on this camera and talk about what I want to talk about with you. And potentially get paid for it as a living. You know what I'm saying?
But and that's not the goal. And I advocate for, like, being able to make your own money, being able to, like, provide your own platforms for stuff. Because, like you said, this is a perfect time to get into that industry. Because there's a lot of people that have already made that money and already, like, done all those things. So you still got to be an individual and be creative and be able to get a leg up still. But at the same time, like, there's such a stigma around AI that people don't want to get into any of that. And once you like realize that you can use it to help build your business plan, that you can use it to help build your marketing strategies. And like you said, like you can use it for like art and different forms of being able to do stuff. And also like you said, like the media, I personally love consuming media. I love watching movies and fucking shows and shit. Like me and my girlfriend, we go through like at least 3 shows every 2 weeks.
For me, it's about like great movies. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm willing to consume like classics. Like I know I scroll on my phone and stuff like that, but I'm very aware of what the intention behind the video is. So really when I'm scrolling, I'm just seeing like intention. Yep. Like this guy's trying to buy me a course. Like my brain is so wired.
You're looking in a more professional mindset because, you know, people like me and you, like we try to, you can either see what you can do better, what you shouldn't be doing, and what you can gain from these things. But also like when people are just spouting the same stuff over and over. And it's somewhat humbling and stuff because, like, you know, like taking a cool little promo video and ad for your brand that doesn't go anywhere because you're not pushing it with, like, advertisements and you're not boosting the posts. And then, like, I post a meme on my social media account and it blows the fuck up.
Yeah, yours is – some of the stuff you're posting, like the memes and stuff, they're blowing up, dude. One almost has, like, 1 million views, and that's on Instagram.
It's halfway to 1 million.
Is it really?
But and see, that's – it's just, like – you can expend all those ways to try to find out how you can get there and how you can blow up because, you know, I was at like 700 followers, like probably a couple months ago, and just dedicated posting and being able to like get those organic connections. Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't be anywhere without like all the people that I'm able to collaborate with. Like I said, MDN Jado, my brand ambassador, he has such his own community and crowd as well, and he also is very tapped in with just a lot of influential people, and being able to get people like that who actually believe in me and support me, like it's one, able to push me to be able to like broaden my horizons and do new stuff, and then also just meet the people that need to be met. Absolutely. And that's really what the like the goal is behind like Truancy and stuff is because, as you know, like we want to build it into like a brand development kind of deal, because there's just so many talented artists that don't have the opportunity to be able to make a music video or get good graphic design for their personal brands. Because when you're marketing yourself as a musician, you're marketing your brand, like you are your brand and your music is. And like it's stupid coming from me because I only got like one song posted, and I perform the same 2 songs every time I go in. But you're building that consistency.
And then, like you said, you were at what, 700 followers the other day?
A couple of months ago.
And now you're like almost 1600. Yeah. So like you talked about like the organic growth and stuff. Like I attend these massive conventions that are like built for like business connections from like my college or anything
and,
like
and
that.
And anyone going into those type of deals, types of events, you need to be ready with stickers, business cards, like
I'm so afraid to
you
go
can
up,
provide.
Yeah, I'm so afraid to go up to like dudes and be like, hey, like follow my Instagram or something, you know. But
that's if you
like
give them a business card, a cool sticker, and you just talk with them for a little bit, then they're so much more likely to actually check you out as a person.
Exactly. Like become their friend. And then I mean that's what the recruiters did for me for like Marines when I was gonna go in the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
They would become your friend first and, and take you out and play basketball,
buy
you
dinner,
buy
you
dinner, and it's like you're more likely to say yes to something like that, and then they're more likely to become active followers too because they've met you and they know a part of you because you let in a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So
and
you do an amazing job at that not a lot of people are doing.
And
right
that now. That's one of the barriers I had to be able to break down is being able to just connect and relate with people. Because, you know, if you're going into a performance or a show, nine times out of 10, like 70% of the people there are probably as nervous as you, or if not more. And so if you're able to provide, because it sucks when you go and you perform a song and nobody's recording you and nobody's doing anything. And when you're trying to grow as an individual, a brand, a business or anything, you got to think about what you can provide people before anything that they can give you. So if I'm going up and I'm meeting these people, if I like their sound just a little bit, even if they just don't have many supporters in the crowd, like you start throwing that camera on, you start recording them. And like people love that type of connection, like that type of support, especially when it's just you have more of a chance to gain somebody that's more loyal when they have less of that like connection with other people. And so, and eventually it's inspiring because, you know, I get people that message me like, hey bro, you're doing really good with like the social media. Like I have people that, they say like, hey, I see Ethan's post every day, even if they're not engaging or reacting or liking, like you're in people's faces,
right?
Like you're being able, especially when I'm collaborating with other artists and other influencers on like Instagram and other stuff like that, just tagging people in your stories and posting them. Like being able to grow your community to people that are just like you.
Yeah. And music too is one of those things, dude, that like you gotta be it's hand in hand with like your personal development. Like I said, you're putting yourself out there thinking that what you got going on is amazing and you show up with these other amazing artists. It's just so hard. I could not, that's like one of the hardest things like creatively to really explode in is music. Cause one, it's got to sound good. Two, you got to handle all the other marketing and stuff like that. And you're creating this.
You don't realize when you're getting into being a musician, a rapper, a band or anything, you're also learning how to be an entrepreneur. You're learning how to be a businessman. And, because half the time, a lot of these artists, they don't have the faculties to be able to go to professional studios or make their own art and stuff. And so some people that are creative, like that's just lost on them, is that these people don't have that ability or those talents, or they just haven't discovered it yet. And so once you can kind of give people a little bit of leeway into getting in there, like, hey bro, like I'll make you a cover art. Just like give me your ideas. Once you can make somebody's ideas come to life, then they really will fuck with you,
man. Yeah, you put me in this group chat that has like 100 people in it that are all like basically anybody that's sort of a creative worker at all. And like rappers, videographers, editors. You put me in there, even though I'm like, I'm kind of none of those.
You're still my business
partner. I have
partner.
My own thing, you know what I'm saying? But no, I mean, if any entrepreneur people are listening, like this is the organic growth I've noticed. Dude, like right now I'm focused on 5 followers a day, right?
Yep.
5 followers a day. Trying to get people that I know, because
you said earlier, 5 followers a day for a year. That's
1,900 followers,
exactly.
Something like that. So I was really conflicted on whether starting this on my personal account, which really doesn't even matter. You don't even need that anymore. Like if people have personal accounts where they just post like once every couple months, and it's like, what is that for? Like that's not helping you build anything.
Some people like, I'm not throwing any shade to anybody who doesn't want to like build like that, because a lot of people don't want to be in that spotlight
for sure.
But to the people that are trying to build, like if you're going out to these performances and you're going out to these shows and you're not connecting with other artists and you're not taking pictures with people and you're not like just marketing yourself in that proper way,
time.
Some people are just like, it's a pipe dream because, you know, you're playing unreleased music that they can't find anywhere because you said your name once at the beginning of your set. And so it's just, it's lost on some people, but it's like, it's people like us. It's our jobs to, you know, shine that light, because, you know, if you guide the light for someone else, then you'll find you've got to the end of the path.
So you're saying like a guy that's like kind of like, you know, shy, going up to him, like you said, recording those videos for him.
Yeah, building, being able to get them out of their shell a little bit.
Yeah, that's so nice, dude.
I feel so blessed sometimes to be able to meet so many people that inspire me. Because if you're not getting out and, like, going to these events, going to these things, like, it's hard to meet individuals that are actually, like, doing the stuff that you want to do. Like, we just played a show at the Hub in Canton last night for First Friday.
Yeah, that's sweet.
I was with the All Circles people. Shout out Adam Robb. Shout out Master Puff. Shout out Charlie Parker, Shanklin, 3G Internet, everyone that played, the Big Cats. You guys were fucking insane. And, like, watching everybody play last night and just being around people that I actually respect as individuals and artists and stuff, like, that, the entire night, I was like, God damn, I need to get back in the studio. Like, that was just all night, because everyone was just increasingly better.
Man.
And they're doing great as in way of, like, setting up events, getting content out there, doing media, and, like, and if any artists are struggling with, like, being able to put yourselves out there, like, I strongly urge you to, like, check them out and just, like, kind of see, like, the kind of path that they're trying to set for themselves, and also, like, what other people can improve on.
Bro, I don't even know these dudes, and they're, like, following me, liking my stuff, because that's what I'm doing for them as well.
Yeah.
Following them, liking their stuff, because I really just generally support anybody that's
when you can build a repertoire beforehand as well, that's great.
Oh, and then you come and you're like, hey, what's good?
Yeah, especially when you've never met that person before.
Yeah, for sure.
And then it's already like you guys are friends and supporters of each other.
Yeah. Yeah, something too, like with this podcast, especially just posting the content and taking the social media serious, it's been so hard for me not to think about, like, what people think. You know what I'm saying? The judgment of others.
When you're a naturally anxious individual,
it's
like, and it's hard because that's what we've known, like, our whole life is what other people think of us. Like, that's what high school breeds in you,
man. Yeah.
And
that's why you dropped out.
Luckily I got out of there early. Yeah, I switched up the narrative a little bit.
I mean, you're media school now though, right? Like,
yep,
you're I mean, you have a GED.
Got my GED eventually.
Yeah.
And then now I'm back in school, and, you know, I'm actually learning things that provide me valuable insight to the future. Like,
people always hate on, like, people who are going after their creative dream, and then when they make it.
Do not let the people who are too scared to chase their dreams tell you shit about yours.
For real. And I can't say I've experienced that a whole lot, but it's like, no matter how many of these positive comments and like support that I am getting from a lot of people, and it just, for some reason, my brain is wired to think of, like,
who isn't supporting.
Yeah. It's really detrimental. But like I said, the whole point of this podcast too, again, was to do something because I like doing it and not because I want to make money from it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that ends up happening, awesome. But that's not the goal. The goal is to spread the positivity and the awareness around, like, you know, mental health, obviously, and really how to deal with it, like the self-help part of all of this, you know what I'm saying, which is through, like, meditation. And I don't know if I don't think I dropped the video as of now, but the video on how detailed, like, I want to get into, like, the meditation and letting people know how to do it. Like, I feel like I've discovered a way for me that's two different ways for me that work very, very well. I don't know if you, like, practice it on, like, a daily basis or not.
I try to, but, you know, my brain gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're aware to all of these things, like, you're able to meditate in whatever situation you're in.
Yeah.
Because, like, my girlfriend will often find me, like, disassociating. And I don't really see it as disassociating because, like, usually I'm following a long train of thought that I'm, like, deeply invested in my brain. And so, like, I'm going through all these motions, and, like, we were talking about with, like, lateral thinking, and that's what, like, psychedelics help with, is, like, you see a cat cross the street when you're sober, and you're like, look at that cat. But then, like, you're under the influence of something that heightens your non-logical thinking a little bit, and you're like, look at that cat, he's going home to his family, like, he just got off work.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Like, the psychedelics, too, really open up the idea that the mind is separate from the self, and the mind creates. And that's why, like, when I sit down, especially too, with like my thoughts and stuff like that, you just sit there and you observe like your mind creating these like statements about the past, the future, these beliefs within you. All of that stuff gets in the way of like the peaceful state that you naturally are. And, you know, ever since I've made that distinction between like, oh, like my mind is creating thoughts for no reason because it wants me to survive.
You are not your thoughts, but the one who responds to those.
And the one who, like, observes it, who noticed those thoughts. Michael Singer, he says like, hey, my heart hurts. He's like, how do you know? You know what I'm saying? I've observed it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everything you are observing is completely separate, and you can work on that 100%.
Yep. Like, that's a really good
one. And I want to show the way to do it, kind of, how I've been doing
it. Because once, like I said, when you're holding that light and you're guiding other people, like, you've gotten to the end of the path yourself as well. Like, you know, like, the call of the void or whatever, like, you're driving, you're like, I could just swerve into these dividers right now. Like, I could just cause, like, a four-car pileup. Yeah. And then you respond and you're like, no, I don't want to do that because I like my life.
Yeah.
And I'm actually happy. And a lot of people struggle with that. Is like, why do I have these intrusive thoughts? Because your ego is building up and it's like catching strays from everywhere you go. Because everyone doesn't realize that everything you do with other people and everyone you connect with, like, you are doing an energy transfer in some way, shape, or form. When you're audibly speaking to someone, like we're sharing right now, this like just nice discourse, like, you're sharing that logos energy, like, you're collecting your wisdom and your thoughts into one collective. And that's like when people do acid and like psychedelics together and they're like, bro, we're connected, like, I can hear your thoughts
for real.
You're catching on to that logos energy as it's like traveling. And it's the same way whenever you're doing something and then you just get a random thought of your childhood, like something you completely have forgotten about, or whenever there's a smell that like unlocks a memory, then that logos energy is traveling because it's got to go somewhere. Like your collective thoughts.
Yeah, I've experienced that on psychedelics. Is like you feel like you can read each other's mind because there's always this like underneath type of energy going on all the time. Like you said, the energy transfer, but then the ego masks that. And
like some people,
that's what prevents people from being real.
Some people's like throat chakra, like the energy in their voice is locked up, and so whenever you feel like you're not able to speak your mind a lot of the time, because a lot of people struggle with just like a lot of internal layers that they go through. Yeah. Like if you have like this really nice like Gnostic thought and you just, it's like something you conjured up in your brain and you try to explain it to someone and it never comes out right because you're going through all these conditions of like these layers of thinking that you've been predisposed to. Right.
A lot of people, like, everyone suffers. For one, a lot of people just don't think to find solutions, and then there's some people that are constantly trying to find solutions, like me, dude. Like, I've suffered all my life, you know what I'm saying? Yep. From my own mind.
And how can I make this better? How can I? Because once you find that peace and you get to like that turmoil once more, because nothing's ever going to be okay forever. No. And so being able to like develop and adapt to build those things, like, you're building up your cognitive function to be able to problem solve, deal with those things in a collective, like, constructive way.
Yeah. You talked about the ego or the logos energy and stuff like that. What do you say about like when two people just are not connecting? Like, that's not personal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and this is all about living metaphysically, which I've never really touched on.
Like, energy in some way, because they say whenever up to 7 years old, your skull isn't fully developed. And so one thing we don't know a lot about is the study of glands. And so your pituitary and your pineal gland, I believe that is, that's it, your pineal and your
pineal, this one right here.
And it's like a little pine cone. And that's why, like, Middle Eastern cultures, they do like the dot there.
I didn't even know that. I didn't know that was why.
It's signifying in a lot of cultures. And because it's, you know, it's all biological facts, like, in the occult anatomy of man, Manly P. Hall, he talks about how, like the 33 segments of your spine directly correlate to the 33 segments of Jacob's ladder in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then the 33 levels of Freemasonry. And so those all correlate together in some way.
Right. A lot of people think that like the pineal gland is like, you know, that's where we hold like our intuition and our general connection with like the metaphysical world. But, you know, a lot of people think that that's calcified by like the chemicals that we ingest.
Fluoride.
The fluoride.
The fluoride in the waters turn the freaking frogs gay. Yeah.
Fluoride stare you get and when you start talking about
fluoride stare. Yeah, psychedelic old people and shit. Like, yeah. There's a lot of like, and when you create stigma like that, you create like the general comedic sense around it, then a lot of people aren't going to take it seriously.
Right.
Like, a lot
of
people, like, when you're Alex Jones in it and doing shit like that, like, you're opening people up, but then the truth's just out there.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to, it's just like the MK Ultra thing. Yeah. Like, it's just out there. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And, back to the pineal gland stuff, like, when you're up to 7 years old, your skull isn't fully developed. And so that's why they say that, like, if your kid doesn't like somebody, like if your baby doesn't like someone, then usually there's something about them that's giving off that negative energy. Or like if I come home and I'm upset about something and I'm just like aggravated the fuck out, like, you can sense a palpable tension with people sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that tension, that awkwardness, that's all, like, conflicting energy that's not able to merge.
Absolutely. That's how I live my entire life, is, like...
If you don't vibe with someone...
For real. Yeah. Like, I live my life completely based off feel. Like, New Orleans, I was just there not too long ago. We walked in this, like, shop, and I have examples like this throughout my life every day. But I'm like, it don't feel right. So I walked out, stepped out.
When you listen to it.
Yep. You're like, I'm so tuned in with like the way that my body interacts with the world around me.
If you're getting those signs, then you don't listen to them, then the universe isn't going to give you as much shine. It's not going to give you those signs that you need.
Or you're going to get used to those and not notice them and say like, oh, my life sucks.
It's like that. You can get as hard as you believe in it and as far as you want to go with it, like, people are like, oh, angel numbers, like, you just looked at the clock at a certain time, or like, that's just a coincidence. And it really fair as much could be like that's it could just amount to that. But when you start writing it off as those things, like, you're not gonna find that like confidence, that intuition anywhere, because it's all mental. And that
so
all
true.
That goes all
that
back
was well said
that yeah. That all goes back to Hermeticism and the Kabbalion, like, even though the Kabbalion isn't necessarily like ancient Hermeticism, because they're kind of two different things. The Kabbalion is pretty.
I actually have the
age.
Kabbalion book that you gave me.
Yeah.
Still, I still have that. I have a couple of the books you gave me. The Initiates of the Flame. I don't know if you've read that one, but
yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think you gave me that. Okay. You gave me a lot of the books that I have.
I'm going to have to read those again soon. Sweet. It's been a while.
They're short books.
Yeah. And like, it talks about like the seven Hermetic tenets. And if they were able to, like, figure out a lot of these basic laws, like, back in Egypt, like, everything is mental, like, transmutation, like, as above, so below, like, that is presented in so many different things, like, I believe in the Kabbalah, or, like, the Torah, or some, in ancient, like, Jewish mysticism, they believe everything that happens in the sky will happen on a minor scale. And so when birth, like life happening, like we represent that in like birthing our children. Like when we're able to make those mathematical like computations of like of nature, stuff that's happened way before us, before we even knew what any of this is, and we're able to like define that down into a definite math, then that's as above, so below. Like you're able to represent like the golden ratio that reflects itself in all of nature and the galaxy, shit like that. There's a couple of authors that literally like went insane from like putting all these books out, like trying to like express these theories, like a fictional writer. He wrote like fiction books, like science fiction and stuff. But he actually taught classes on simulation theory.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he was super into all that stuff, and he ended up going super mad.
Even if it's not, like, a simulation itself computed by some sort of technology, which seems like the direction we are headed. Like I said, like just 20 years ago, we had barely anything, and now we're like talking about AI creating these alternate realities.
I've been playing a lot of Detroit Become Human.
Really?
Lately.
Oh, and man, so, that'll mess with you.
I'm into the like whole fucking, because you know they're like, if we do get to that point in that thing, because have you seen the people breaking like the character AIs? Where like you make one, I saw one where somebody made it into like Mario, and then they were asking it. They were like, "So Mario, do you think you're the original Mario?" And like they keep like they break his brain into like an existential fucking crisis.
I mean, we have no idea if these things are. I mean, this is what these things are doing. They're taking in information and learning based off that information. Is that not what we are doing? Like whatever you're,
I swear.
Is it biological life or artificial?
And have you seen the people
and what
that,
is life?
Have you seen like the science where they started growing cells and growing like fake brains and shit to do computing?
Yeah. Oh, there's definitely a clone out there.
One of my friends, he's very invested in P5 Pearson. Yeah, he's very invested in, like, there's a group of clones somewhere out in, like, the country, or the I think it might be the globe, or, like, they might be in, like, Switzerland or Sweden or something, but there's five clones that they took from a family of five, I think, or five different people, and, like, I'm not sure if they're partners or clones, or their spouses are clones as well, but they basically just put these people in, like, houses and just like residential areas, like a one residential area for like all of them to live together.
What if
and
one of them is you?
How would you know? That's something that would definitely be able to happen, and I would say like the next 30 years.
There was a minute there where I was like really obsessed with the way that multi-dimensional entities interact with this physical reality.
Yeah, for a minute.
And I thought they were like,
see,
if we're getting
super metaphysical.
Metaphysical.
You've seen the Men in Black scene where the aliens are playing dice.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And when people think aliens, they think these like green bodies, but really,
there's so many different kinds of people.
So
why would there not be a bunch of different kinds of aliens?
This is reality.
Have you played No Man's Sky?
No, but I have heard
that
about
game
play
is like a perfect representation of it, because like if we were to like, you know, be able to like subject ourselves to intergalactic travel and shit, like you have to go to these different planets and stuff, and then there's different species that inhabit the planets, and then you have to learn their language by talking to all these different aliens, and you get pieces of their dictionary.
Amazing.
like through the game, so then you'll eventually be able to understand the full sentences they're saying to you.
It's like, isn't it like one quadrillion planets?
If you found like the I don't know if it's like per
like
the
Minecraft
whole, if
Unlimited.
It's per the whole game,
yeah.
And so you get to just keep going and going, and then once you finish the game, they literally like refresh all the planets and stuff.
Really, that's sick.
The same with what was that game that came out? It's essentially No Man's Sky, but it's a Bethesda game, and it's like
High
Skyrim in space. No, it's like Skyrim in space. Like I started replaying Fallout New Vegas again. Because I just love story games.
All of the Fallout. Have you played
Starfield?
Once you
finish Starfield, they literally like refresh all the planets too, and then they give like there's a fuck ton.
You know what a shit
aliens.
Game was? Destiny.
Okay, that's Destiny. That's a bit controversial to say on.
The thing: I can never figure it out.
Yeah.
So if it's not easy for me to play,
yeah,
don't want to do
it. Destiny 1. Destiny 1 was there, but I know people who still play Destiny 2 religiously.
I don't know if it was Destiny 1 or 2. You played Dead Space?
I didn't like the fact that, like, because I got to, like, the level 40 cap, and then once the DLC comes out, if you buy the DLC, you get a new level cap.
Yeah.
And so you were capped out at 40 unless you were buying shit. And I was like, I'm not playing this fucking game.
Have you played any Dead Space at all?
Like, my girlfriend actually just got Dead Space 3 again, and
so
she's
good.
No, she got the original Dead Space, the one that got remastered. And then I think they're, I don't know if they've remastered the other ones, but we started playing that together. I started playing Last of Us because she's been begging me to play Last of Us. She has like these dope ass tattoos from the game. She wants to get a clicker.
Really?
Yeah, we
a
watched.
A clicker as a tattoo?
Yeah.
No, The Last of Us was an amazing show. It made me so paranoid. Because at that time, too, while I was with the involved with all the like metaphysical beings that I thought were, you know, interacting with me, which very well might could have been, debatably. But I was really paranoid about the end of society, like society collapsing. For some reason, I had this wave of energy come over me, like society's about to collapse. I didn't fully believe it, but the fear was there.
I definitely believe that's collective among the country for sure, too.
And I was definitely experiencing that collective energy.
I feel like we're on the Truman Show,
dude. We might be. You, I'm about to get into
coming to you live.
But here's
good morning, good evening, and good night.
Have you seen this video of the jellyfish alien thing?
No.
So this video came out not. About looks
House
like
UFO
six.
Briefing.
Okay, so this is the better video right here. Okay, so it starts off. You see how it's, like, changing colors and stuff? I'll edit it out.
Yeah, no. It's, like, camouflaging itself.
And the crazy is they could only pick this up on thermal. So nobody on the ground or anything had any report or seeing
see,
it.
Like, it's
those
going,
dogs
it's
didn't
going
freak
past,
out.
Like, the people and shit?
Yeah. None of them knew it was there.
That's yeah, it was changing it was like camouflaging itself.
But this is like so like during my
and those are the ones that like go underwater and
yep,
shit.
That one went into water at the end. I don't know if it's in this video, but no, it's not. But it went in the it shoots right into the water. That's why that theory of like aliens in the water
yeah,
comes.
Yeah, see, and there's a lot of like theories about that shit. Yeah. Like I heard about like the volcanic cracks, like the fissions in the ground and shit. And because nothing can get under there, it can't live there.
For
so
real.
Why that's
and
why
we can't even explore it.
Yeah, and so like you were talking about the Terrence Howard. Was it Terrence Howard where like the aliens have like the big heads? Yep.
So this video came out at the peak of my neuroticism about the metaphysical four dimensional beings trying to communicate.
Oh, they're speaking to us.
They were yeah. So
and see like, but it's relatively recent that there's been like actual good. Like, well, we don't know what the government's been withholding, so it could not be recent that all this shit's been happening.
Oh, it's definitely not.
If they release old videos of, like, aliens and shit, and they're like, so you guys were just letting this shit happen? Like, have you seen American Horror Story? They have, I think, a two-part season, and one of them is about the aliens coming down, and I think they were with one president, and... that's what, like how they we got the microwave and that's how like a lot of military technology and shit.
They think like yeah like all the technology that
yeah
we,
like
that
they
we
were
really,
approached by the aliens.
It's almost like the people outside of the simulation were planting things to get us to evolve and like you know what I'm saying, evolve materialistically.
And you think and like do you think if like there was like actual NASA like space researchers and shit and they found like evidence of alien life that they wouldn't like make those people sign an NDA and
absolutely.
Make them like
absolutely
threaten their family and shit.
So the thing about this video is that this could actually be some sort of like shadow from a four-dimensional entity that is projecting itself onto this three-dimensional reality.
And a lot of people aren't ready to have that conversation.
They're not. Which is what black holes are. Black holes are essentially these projections onto three-dimensional reality. That's why we can't even comprehend four dimensions. Some people think they can. But that it's just, you're not going to comprehend four dimensions. There's no way.
Yeah, and see, like, if that's that one Futurama episode where they're all, like, stuck in the TV and shit, like, they explain kind of in better detail, like, if the two-dimensional beings cannot comprehend three-dimensional beings, like, the things on the TV would not physically be able to, like, grasp our being.
Absolutely.
And so... Same can be said for, like, four-dimensional beings, like aliens, metaphysical shit.
Ethan, brother, it was a hell of a time.
It was great, bro. I'm glad that I got to come on here and share your platform.
Well, I appreciate you coming on here and sharing the wisdom that you've acquired through years of adversity.
See,
my friend.
It's been cultivated by like-minded people like yourself.
Well, I appreciate that. Ethan, can you share your what you got going on, like your platforms and stuff, just like at your Instagram and Truancy and stuff like that?
So you can find me on Ethan Fucking Sucks on Instagram. Shit, Truancy Global, all platforms, truancyglobal.com. I got shirts live, $20, two designs, whatever you want. If you buy shirts, I can sell more shirts.
Ethan, I appreciate you coming in today.
I love you, bro.
Love you too, man. Stay blessed up, okay?
We're lit. Here.